providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. This replay of this week's daily editorial comes from Thursday when Shad chatted with Brian London.
Hello and welcome into the KE Report. I'm your host, Shad Markowitz, and I'm speaking today with Brian London, editor and publisher of the Gold Newsletter, and our host at the New Orleans Investment Conference, which we'll talk about a little later in this discussion. Brian, it's always great to have you on the show just to get your thoughts on the macroeconomic news of the day and how that affects the precious metals and the resource space. And I guess the big news out recently is that the CPI inflation reading came in a little hotter than people expected. And we've had some pretty big market reactions to it, to the downside in the general markets, in the cryptoverse, in the commodities, and even in the precious metals. And it's interesting because everybody, Brian, was leaning towards one side of the boat. They all thought inflation would be trending down because they saw energy prices pulling back. They saw commodities pulling back. But what we saw instead was a lot of the services and a lot of the things that are not food or energy continue to raise higher. So inflation is higher. Typically, that would have actually been a boon to the precious metals and even to some of the commodities. But in this kind of an upside down world, everybody's worried about what the Fed's going to do next. So what's your take on the market reaction we've seen, Brian, just in the last couple of days?
Yeah, thanks, Shad. Great to be with you as always. And it is an upside down world, but it's not just for gold. What we've seen literally for decades, but most prominently since the 2008 great financial crisis, is that all of the markets are being driven by Fed policy, essentially. And because the Fed leads all of the other central banks around the world, it is really global in scope. What the Fed does drives all of the markets. And since 2008 in particular, we've seen Fed liquidity erasing really all of the inverse correlations that used to exist and used to be employed in good portfolio management. Everything is being lifted or has been lifted by this flood of liquidity from the Fed. Bonds and stocks are no longer inversely related. They are positively correlated. Gold, precious metals, tangible assets, real estate, everything has been lifted upon this sea of liquidity. So what's happened is the prices of all of these assets are set on a daily basis by hot money, quick-fingered traders on Wall Street and their algorithms. And they very simply have a formula, A plus B equals C. Anything that indicates Fed hawkishness, that perhaps this sea of liquidity will be, the tide will come out a bit and the Fed will tighten. Anything that indicates that means sell everything, across the board, everything, the whole spectrum of assets. Anything that indicates that that flood is coming in, that we're getting more liquidity from the Fed, means buy and buy everything. And that's what happens. The dollar goes up, contrary to all of this, when everything else is sold, because all the money that's being withdrawn from the markets goes into the dollar. So that's really what's happening. That's why we have such ridiculous, ludicrous situations like a hotter than expected CPI reading. Higher inflation than the market expected means sell gold. That is obviously not what should happen. It's not the interpretation that the markets have had for decades since gold was liberated in 1974 as an investable asset in the United States. Higher inflation means you should protect yourself from the depreciation of your home currency, in this case, the dollar, by buying gold. Doesn't work that way over the short term. And so we have this situation where the Fed is intent to kill off inflation by raising rates, regardless of what happens to the economy, and everything's being sold off. And gold showing some weakness and approaching that important technical support gets attacked in a more concerted fashion by the traders who are trying to push it past those key levels and then precipitate a further drop that will pay off for their short positions.
Yeah, Brian, we are near that really key 1673 to 1675 level that was tested a couple times last year, the double bottom in March at those levels, then again in August in that little flash crash in the early hours. We've seen it get 1678 just earlier this year. And there's a lot of momentum traders that, like you say, would like to push it below that level. The question really comes to, is there anything that's going to give the precious metals a little relief, maybe a short covering rally or some people coming in from the sidelines and putting some cash to work if this level breaks as a bear trap? Or do you think that we actually could be setting up for months or even longer of more pain because of the Fed cycle continuing to hike? You know, how are you viewing the setup in the precious metals, and are you concerned about the sector overall?
Yeah, I would say I'm concerned about it in the near term because of everybody's been talking about these key levels around 1670, 1680, depending on how you mark the gold price. And because it's so widely watched and expected and acted as a target by the shorts, it's a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy. And unless we get some sanity from long-term investors who are looking at, you know, the real story and investing with a further horizon, taking advantage of this to come into the market, unless that happens, it's hard to see us not going lower, because even those investors are going to see the likelihood that they'll be able to get a cheaper price tomorrow. But I think that a bit longer term, and by longer term, I'm talking a few weeks, I think we're going to start seeing the cost of servicing the debt act as a brake on the Fed's rate hikes. I don't think the Fed has more than one more rate hike after this coming one coming up, which is likely going to be 0.75 points. I don't think they have any more ammunition that they can employ, because the cost of servicing the debt are going to rise prohibitively high and really stop them from further rate hikes. And I think if they at least stop, I think that would be bullish enough for gold and all of the markets, the equities and bonds as well. You know, and there's a chance at that point that's going to be a recognition that the Fed really can't, because of the size of the debt, really can't address the issue of inflation. And if the Fed looks impotent on inflation and inflation remains high, that's a situation that's bearish for all of the other markets, yet bullish for precious metals.
Well, Brian, I know we've discussed this topic before about the ever-increasing debt load and the ability to service it as they hike the Fed funds rate. But the market so far, when you look at the Fed funds futures, they have moved from thinking they would get to about a 3.5% rate to, just as of yesterday, I haven't looked today, they were now pricing in an 80% chance of a 4.3% Fed funds rate, which would mean if they raise 75 basis points next week and then they have two more potential rate hikes November and December, that would imply they're still going to do two more 50% rate hikes. But to your point, there is a breaking point or a tipping point where they can't keep raising it. Do you think that the market is just oblivious to this point now, and it just hasn't gotten into the spotlight yet because we're still looking backwards at data as far as what the debt service level is from some of those earlier hikes, and they haven't really factored in the last few hikes yet? Do you think that there's going to be an awakening or an aha moment for the market, or is this going to just blindside traders?
Yeah, well, both. I think it's going to blindside them and be an awakening, and I'm amazed nobody's seen it yet. But the Fed's own figures on annualized interest payments is calculated on a quarterly basis. And right now we've got second quarter numbers. So at some point in October, I'm not sure of the exact date, but at some point that number is going to be updated. And the current number is already at a record high level, never before seen, of $600 billion a year. And that surpasses the heights that we reached in 2019, when the Fed was hiking at the blinding speed of 0.25 points a year. So right now, the debt load is about double where it was then. The Fed is hiking rates about 5 or 6 times more quickly. And the third quarter numbers coming in next month will show the effects of those more aggressive rate hikes on a debt that is so much larger than it has been ever before, and a multiple of where it was during the last rate hike campaign. So it is, I think, going to be a number that is going to blindside the markets, in your words, and become a really big issue, and something that you're going to see talked about by the talking heads on CNBC in just a few weeks. That's what I think could really help the metals, because it will indicate that the Fed has some restraint, has a limit to what it can do. And nobody's really considering that right now. It's amazing to me that nobody's talking about that, with the cost of servicing the debt already soaring to record levels.
Well, just one more thing that came up in some discussions on our site recently, and that is that when you look back at the 1970s, when we had a similar stagflationary environment where you had high energy prices, high inflation across the board, there was a tougher labor market back then. Now we kind of have the reverse situation, as we pointed out, instead of a lack of jobs, a lack of workers. But we still had slowing growth. We've seen two quarters in a row of negative GDP. So we have a similar setup. And in that kind of environment, when they were hiking, when Paul Volcker was doing the hikes in the mid to late 70s into the early 80s, that kind of an environment, we still had negative real rates when you took the inflation rate away from where, let's say, the 10-year was trading. Well, today, we're still in that same situation. We have a stagflationary backdrop, all the same ingredients, slightly different labor market. But we're still, if you look at the 10-year, it's around 3.48, almost, let's just say 3.5%. And we just had a CPI reading of 8.3%. So we're still at very negative real rates. Why do you think that's not buoying the precious metals more than it has in past cycles?
Well, just as I said, it's the price is set by Wall Street traders who are just looking at what the Fed's going to do. And you're right, you know, the parallels to the 1970s, right now, real rates are still at the lowest levels, or at the levels that they were on a negative basis in the 1970s. The difference, of course, as we've talked about, is that federal debt in the 1970s was 30% of GDP, and today it's around 130%. So that's a limiting factor. The other difference is that real rates, as perceived by the professionals on Wall Street, are not calculated the way they were in the 1970s. In the 1970s, they did it much more simply and much more accurately. As you and I are doing it, we take interest rates and we subtract the rate of inflation as measured by the CPI, which of course in its own way is undercounting inflation. But what Wall Street does is pulls within their little insular community their own inflation expectations, and those are measured by who's buying tips and at what price. So that is a measure that is not only kind of insular or incestuous because it's all the other traders buying tips according to their expectations, but also tips are dominated by one particular buyer, that buyer being, of course, the Federal Reserve. So the measure itself is tainted in so many ways and undercounts the rate of inflation or underpredicts the rate of inflation, as we've seen before. So it's all a rigged game, quite frankly, and nobody really knows what the real rate of inflation is. The only thing we can really be confident of is that it's much higher than what's being reported.
Well, I think that's a good breakdown and a great point that with so many people looking at the tips market, which is a very massaged number and, like you say, almost an incestuous number, it's a lot different than if you just look at it simply and plainly and say, here's the bond rates and the yields, and here is the rate of inflation. It's pretty clear that we're in a negative real rate environment. It just doesn't show that same way in the tips. So there will be a day of reckoning, or as our friends in Great Britain say, truth will out. And so until that time, Brian, we'll keep following along with the madness of the crowds here. But you're going to have your own crowd soon down in New Orleans in October from the 12th to the 15th at the New Orleans Investment Conference. And I guess this is an opportune time for people to be looking at the sector, because with the mining stock so bombed out, there's a lot of great opportunities. There's also a lot of great thought leaders there. I'd love you to walk us through, if somebody is in the U.S. and traveling distance, or if they're in Canada and they'd like to fly into the event, why should they come to the New Orleans Investment Conference? Who are some of the speakers? What are some of the benefits of coming to the show, Brian?
Yeah, well, the benefits are getting to hear from some of the top experts out there. They're really the most insightful, intelligent, thoughtful commentators on the markets and the economy that are really out there anywhere. You know, I read and listen to everybody and have for decades, and these are the speakers that I picked personally, and I can vouch for them as being the best out there. There's only a couple out there that I would have wanted to speak that I was not able to get this year. So it is a powerful array of experts, and at a time that is absolutely crucial. As I mentioned, I think everything's coming to a head over the next couple of months. So you'll really want to hear from these people. And the list goes on, it's dozens and dozens, but just to read off a few of them, we've got Jim Grant, we've got Danielle DiMartino Booth, Jim Rickards, George Gammon, Doug Casey, Jim Urio, Rick Rule, Brent Johnson, Dominic Frisby, Tavi Costa, John Najarian, Peter Bookvar, Lawrence Lepard, Dave Collum, Jim Stack, Adam Taggart, the real estate guys who are fantastic. Mickey Fall, Byron King, Sean Broderick, Adrian Day, the Aiden sisters, goes on and on for dozens upon dozens of really top experts out there. And of course, you'll be there and I'll be there. So what more do you want?
That's right. Well, that's quite a list. And there's a lot of friends of our show on that list you just named, a lot of people we've had on the show over the years and had great discussions with, a lot of people I personally follow, Brian. And yes, Corey and I will be there at the show. So if there's any listeners out there that want to come see us in the flesh and shake hands or shake elbows, whatever we're doing these days, we'll be there. And the other thing, I guess, Brian, is just maybe talk about the networking, and then there'll be some, you know, even some company executives walking around. What's the value of that for people to have boots on the ground and be there person to person?
Yeah, it's incredible. Really an amazing experience. We'll have close to 100 exhibiting companies. So a great time to talk to these companies face to face and pick up some of the really remarkable bargains that are out there. And I tell people every year that the real, probably the best value of this event are your fellow attendees, because anyone that's going to spend the money to come to this, even though it's an extraordinary experience and a great place to be, you know, it ain't that easy to get to New Orleans for 4 days. So everybody who's there is kind of self-identifies as being smart, successful investors who are willing to share their secrets, their tips, their tricks, what they're hearing. That is tremendously valuable. I mean, the intellectual energy in the hallways, talking to these people, talking to these speakers, is something that has to be experienced to really be understood. And I tell people, the best thing that I can do to try and convince someone to come is to tell them to speak to somebody who's been there. You know, we have a satisfaction guaranteed policy. If you're not satisfied with the event for any reason whatsoever, no questions asked, we'll give you your money back. And we very rarely had to do that over the decades. Very rarely, only a few times. You can count them on one hand. People who come to our event come again and again and again. And they are our best ambassadors, if you will, for selling the event, for telling people that it is something that is genuinely unique. It is the oldest, longest running investment conference in the world. And it would not be in its 48th year if we weren't doing something right. So I urge everyone to come down and experience it if they've never been before. It is life-changing and wealth-changing experience. The other thing I would encourage them to do is to register soon, because our room block at our host hotel is closing out very soon. So I would encourage anyone who's thinking about coming to go ahead and register and get your hotel room ASAP, because it's going to be a packed event. It's going to be a grand homecoming for all of our people, our companies, and our attendees, getting COVID behind us. And we have, it's going to be incredibly fun as well.
Well, Brian, it sounds like a bang-up event. Corey and I are sure excited to be there. And folks listening, again, that's just a month away, October 12th through 15th. So if you're interested, we'll put a link down below the description of this audio, not just to Brian's gold newsletter, but also to the actual event in New Orleans. So always appreciate you coming on the show, Brian, and sharing some ideas and making sense of these topsy-turvy markets that we're all faced with. Looking forward to talking again in a couple of weeks, and looking forward to seeing you next month.
Great. Thanks, Chad. Appreciate the opportunity.